2 Thessalonians. And we're going to pick up tonight at verse 11. 2 Thessalonians, verse 11. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 11. But we want to get the context as always. And so, verse 8. Or verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, I pray you help us and guide and direct us tonight. Lord, give us instruction, give us understanding. Lord, and bless, Lord, anyone here on recording who hears this message, deal with them where they're at. And we ask this, Father, in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Okay. Brethren, we're going to look at some passages tonight that you honestly wonder if a lot of folks today in the pulpits and teaching and preaching across the land, if they have ever read these verses, are acquainted with these verses. Definitely wonder if they believe these verses. Because, brethren, this speaks of an aspect of the Lord that men seemingly are unaware of today. And it's an aspect of God that you don't hear talked about a lot today. And it has to do with the fact that if you want to be deceived, not only will God allow it, He will help it along. If that's what you want. I'm serious. people don't often understand, because, brethren, they're not Bible readers. I'm talking about men in pulpits across this land. They're not Bible readers. And so they don't understand how God is in truth. The understanding they give of God to everybody is just almost like this. They almost convey God as like a good luck genie, so to speak. You know, I'm serious. That's the attitude you almost get. Like, you just, you know, say the right words or whatever, like, you know, and He'll give you what you want. You know, and he wouldn't ever do anything to anybody, and He would ever punish. Brethren, God will not only let you believe a lie if you want it, He will help it along. Amen. And that's just foreign to so many people today, because they're just not acquainted and won't get acquainted with the Word of God. So look what we've got tonight. Verse 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. Why? Paul, what cause are you talking about? Well, we've got to go back to verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. That's the reason God will send strong delusion. God is going to send, God is going to send strong delusion. For this purpose, because that men, verse 10, receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Since men did not love truth, that means they loved what? A lie. And if that's what they want, and in rebellion turn against God and receive lies, God says, okay, I'll give you the lie then that you want. I will send you strong delusion so that you will believe a lie. I'll do it. And brethren, you are in the day and hour where men want lies. I didn't realize how bad it was. But we were discussing today, I guess, Brother Kevin, something you had sent around, we were discussing it about, I guess, an interview. This stunned me. This stunned me. Brother Chris was telling me about it. They interviewed people, and they asked them what they thought. They'd done it, what was it called, Lie Witness News? Yeah. And they interviewed people on the street if they had what they thought of the president's speech, which he didn't give. Do you understand? He didn't give it. And they asked him what they thought. It was like, I thought it was fantastic. Well, best piece I've ever heard. Fantastic. They asked folks, what did you think of his tie? Oh, that thing was outrageous. That was, and then they said, well, what did it look like? Oh, well, I can't remember. Somebody said, well, I fell asleep through part of it. Me and my brethren, the speech wasn't even given. One guy hung his head and said, well, yeah, I was lying. That's scary. It's scary. It's scary. Brethren, you now have a generation. Brethren, people do not want truth. They just want an appearance of things, and that's all that matters. Brethren, because you know what? People today live in a virtual world. And you can make your world any world you want on that little thing there so often. So, you know what? As long as my virtual world is what I want it to be, it doesn't matter about... lies don't matter. Lies don't matter. So this is a people, they are ready. They don't want truth. They do not want truth. So, I mean, you are seeing the generation that this speaks of. They do not want truth. So God says, you don't want truth? And the Bible's truth being Jesus Christ personified and the Word of God being truth. No, it's okay. I'll send you delusion. If that's what you want, then I'll give it to you. And why is it? Because they didn't receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Okay. Who is them? Again, those who refuse to receive the love of the truth. What will God do because of this? He will send them strong delusion. I mean, you know, there's coffee and there's strong coffee. There's tea and there's strong tea. Well, there's delusion and there's strong delusion. The word delusion in the dictionary means deception, a misleading of the mind. Brother Doss, you seem to be implying that God will deceive and mislead the mind. Oh, I'm not implying. I'm telling you, He'll do it. I'm telling you right now, He will do it. God will deceive you if that's what you want. God will ensure that you're deceived if you don't want truth. If you want to kid yourself, if you want to lie to yourself, if you want to think that you're something you're not, if you want to play games, if you don't want truth, God will just let you believe a lie and he'll bring it along. Take your Bible. Isaiah 66. Well then, nobody's going to pull a finger at God. Nobody's going to pull a finger at God. You let me be deceived. You wanted it. I gave you truth and you didn't want it. I gave you truth and you didn't want it, so I gave you the lie that you want. Look here, Isaiah 66, look at verse 4. Verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me and where is the place of my rest? For all those things have mine hand made. Yes, sir. He made heaven. He made earth. He made all things. And all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look. Now, brethren, when you see those words, to this man will I look, that ought to get your attention. You ought to be like, that's the man I want to be. That's the man I want to be. If that's the man that God will look toward, that's the man I want to be. Even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit. Well, boy, that don't play well in today's sports and entertainment world, does it? Where it's chest thumping, look at me, it's all about me. Poor in spirit, well, the world rejects that. The world don't want that. But God says, whatever. Choose what you want to do. But that's the man I'm looking toward. The man that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Somebody that exalts and loves the word of God. Trembles at it. Verse 3, he that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. In other words, the Lord says, you know what? When you offer your sacrifices, it means nothing to me. You're just going through the motions. And in your offering of your sacrifices, your heart is so far removed from it. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea. Look at this. They have chosen their ways. So much for Calvinism. They have chosen their ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. In other words, they made a willful choice to choose that which was contrary to God. They made that choice. So verse 4, look what God says. I also will choose their delusions. God says, you chose. You made a choice. But it's one thing when you don't know. But when you're informed and you're told and now you know, you're going to make a choice. And you may say, I'm just going to ignore it. You made a choice. Once you're presented with truth, you're going to make a choice. And if you choose to reject it or go the opposite way, God says, okay, I make a choice. I'm going to choose your delusions. I'm going to choose the things of how you're going to be deceived. I'm going to choose your misleading. I'm going to choose your delusions. Verse 4, and will bring their fears upon them. Phew. My, brethren. God said He'll bring their fears upon them. Well, what kind of God is that? Hush your mouth. Listen, you made your choice. You're not leaving God with a choice. He is holy. He's not beholden to man. God in His mercy made a way of salvation for us. No, you made your choice and God is dealing with you after your choices. Amen. Do you understand? God deals with you after your choices. Don't you say nothing about God. He's wonderful. God deals with you after your own choices. They chose their own ways. When I got saved, I repented of going my way. I realized that was the problem with Jonathan Doss. Jonathan Doss did what he wanted. Jonathan Doss lived for Jonathan Doss. I went my way. Thanks be to God, I had sense enough that night to turn from Jonathan Doss and turn to God. Amen. They chose their own ways. God says, okay, then I'll choose your delusions and will bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. Not now, Lord. Someday. You hang tight. How dare you? How dare you? When I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes and chose that. They made a choice in which I delighted not. Take your Bible, go to Ezekiel 14. That's a serious matter, brethren. That is a serious matter. Ezekiel 14, verse 9. Ezekiel 14 verse 9, and if the prophet be deceived when he has spoken a thing, look at this, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet and will stretch out my hand upon him and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. Wow. God says, if a prophet's spoken a wrong thing, God says, I've deceived that prophet. God says, he often deceived a prophet. Did you know, have you ever read over there, when Micaiah was going to Ahab? And Ahab's prophets, 400 of them. Go up, the Lord's going to bless it, God's in it, you know. And he could tell. Jehoshaphat was there. And Jehoshaphat was like, come on, I'm going to give you a dime for this stuff. What in the world? He says, is there not a prophet of the Lord here? He could see through that mess. Well, there's one, Micaiah. But he always preaches, he always prophesies evil against me. You ever thought about that? If a man's a real prophet, all he's doing is giving what God gave him. So it's not him. It's God telling you that stuff. But he says, Jehoshaphat's heart. Well, they're not letting off the king say so. So they go fetched him, right? And they told him, they said, look, now all these other prophets have spoken good. You better speak the same thing. As the Lord liveth, while the Lord's speaking, that's what I'm going to say. So he got there, Micaiah, should we go up? Well, go up! And the Lord's going, he was speaking sarcastically. And he knew it because he said, didn't I adjure thee, tell thee, you speak only that which is true in the name of the Lord? He goes, okay. I saw the host of heaven gathered before the Lord. And the Lord said, who shall go up and persuade Ahab that he may fall? And one said on this manner, another for that, and a lying spirit came forth and said, I'll do it. I'll go and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, go forth and do so, and you'll prevail. Wow. And he told them what was going to happen. Ahab didn't believe it, and he put Micaiah in prison. And then said, now Jehoshaphat, you poor Jehoshaphat, sometimes you got to wonder. It's like, I mean, Jehoshaphat was a good king. He was a righteous man. You're going to see him today. But it's like sometimes, Jehoshaphat, you just wasn't thinking, was you, buddy? And I'm not getting on him. I'm just saying, because he's with Ahab anyway, and he gets in trouble for that. And then Ahab tells him, you put on your kingly robes. I'm going to disguise myself. And let's go to battle. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can be like, what? I'm going to dress in my kingly robes. You're going to disguise you. Well, you know what happened. They chased Jehoshaphat. And the Bible says he cried out, and they're like, oh, that's not the king of Israel. But brethren, You can't escape God. What a fool a man is to think he's going to escape God. Your Bible says some man drew a bow at a venture. But the Lord directed that arrow. Right between the thing, the joints, and the arm, and he was done. And you know something? Did you know that was a brave man, Ahab, wicked as he was? He'd go to battle. And he stayed, I believe, on the area till, I mean, Ahab had, you know, but wicked as the day is long. But he wasn't bad. And, but brethren, look here, you can't outdo God. You cannot. I mean, Ahab, I think one time went to battle and he led the charge. God told him to lose. So the man would go to, but he was wicked. And you can't outdo the Lord. But the thing of it is, the point I'm trying to make tonight is, the Lord put a lying spirit in the mouth of his prophets. God did that? God deceives people? Yes. If that's what you want. If you don't want truth, God will allow you to be deceived. In fact, from what we tell in Scripture, He'll hasten it along. Take your Bible, go back to 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2, verse 11. And for this cause, what cause? Well, the cause in verse 10 of men not receiving the love of the truth that they might be saved. For that reason, for that cause, God shall send them strong delusion. Well, to what purpose? Why will God send delusion? That they should believe a lie. God is going to make certain. He's going to ensure they believe a lie. Who's going to be coming doing lies? What do we read about Antichrist? He's going to come doing lying signs and wonders. God's going to make sure people believe a lie if they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. I think possibly, brethren, you see, listen, we know that in the tribulation, God picks up dealing with the Jews. It's the time of Jacob's troubles. I'm not going to say that there won't be people in the world that don't get it, but they've got it'll be a matter of losing the life for the Lord. Head chopped off, starving. But brethren, I think, and the population is going to be greatly reduced in that time. But brethren, I think the scriptures seem to be implying to us here. Brethren, if someone has been exposed to the gospel and under Holy Ghost conviction, if they, prior to the tribulation and the church went out, if they're alive during that time, you will be deceived. And you're not getting in. Not if you had your choice and you said no. That seems to be what we're getting here. And I'll give you some things here on this. You say, but what, Brother Lawson? But I know. I know about the Antichrist. I know about how he'll do. Listen, it doesn't matter. If God deludes you, you can't see anything. May I remind you, here's Lot. Compromised Lot. Those wicked sodomites are come to Lot's door. They're going to rape the two angels that have come to Lot. That's what they're going to do. Giving up. Lot comes out. Nay, my brethren. These men go, do not sow, my brethren. Do not this. I have two daughters, virgins. They have not known man. I'll bring them out to you. Good. Right. Can you imagine yourself getting that bad? That you're like, you're ready to give your daughters out to a perverse mob? Well, they went. Now, your Bible, read your Bible. Read your Bible. Your Bible tells you, in Genesis, I believe, 19, your Bible tells you that Lot was at the door. You understand me? Lot was at the door. And those men said, oh, you come in here to sojourn with us, and now, you know, you're going to judge us. We'll deal with you worse than with them. And the Bible says they pressed sore upon the man of a lot, even to break the door. They were at the door. So they were pressing on him. Well, those angels grabbed Lot and pulled him in, and they smote them. Listen, the Bible says they smote the men that were at the door with blindness so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Now, but what kind of blindness? See, brethren, listen. I do not believe in no way, shape, or form those men were stone blind. Let me tell you why. If you go from all of a sudden seeing to stone blind, you're not worried about laying with anything. You understand that? If a whole crowd is now blind, you're not going to worry about laying with nothing. Another point. Let's suppose they were just that, give it up. They were still trying to find. Brethren, the Bible says they were at the door. If you're blind, Brother, come on. You're at the door. You can find the door. That is no problem. But brethren, if you're blinded so that you can see everything except the thing God wants you to see, do you hear me? That's awesomely frightening. God can so blind you, you can see everything in front of you, but what God don't want you to see. If you don't believe it, go over there again, take a look at it, look at Elisha. His servant gets up, he sees the enemy troops. Elisha, what are you going to do? Lord, open his eyes. And on the hillside, notice he said, Lord, open his eyes. And he was able to see what he couldn't see before. So those men came down, and what did they tell Elisha? Elisha said, blind them. So these men are now blinded. Does that mean that those troops are stone blind? Brethren, they would have panicked. No, they held a conversation with Elisha. Elisha says, this is not the way. Come, let me show you. And they follow him. Brethren, if they were all blind, that ain't happening. Right. They'd have gone crazy. No, all of a sudden, they're blind in the sense that they don't know where they're at. When they got to the encampment, Elisha said, open their eyes. And then they realized, oh no. You see, God can blind you to anything He just doesn't want you to see. How many times have you searched for something and you're like, that was there? I mean, we just do that on day-to-day affairs. It's like, that was there? No, that couldn't have been there. But brethren, if God wants to, I could place that book right there. Do you understand me? I could place it there and then God can so blind me that I don't see it. And you see, but Brother Doss, you can still reach out and touch it. Not if in your mind you don't even see it. God is able to do that. So, brethren, somebody says, no problem. When the Antichrist in that time's come, I won't take the mark. I'll hold out. I've got it. Now you understand. When God sends delusion, you can't find the door, even if it's right in front of your face. You reject Christ, there's liable to come a day then you can't find Him. Though you once knew about Him, God now has deluded you. And you can't. And you can't. And you can't even realize, you can't even realize the situation you're in. Now I'm serious. That's what your Bible says. Your Bible says because they didn't receive the love of the truth, they made a choice. Then God makes a choice and He sends delusion to where you will believe a lie. God ensures it. God makes sure it'll happen. And you can't see it. It doesn't matter what you used to know. You can't see it now. You can't see it. You don't toy with God. You don't play around with Him. Listen. God will send those that do not receive the love of the truth strong delusion so that they will believe a lie. In fact, to ensure it. They don't want to love the truth. So listen, think about it. Remember how we're talking about, I believe that he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. I believe that's the Holy Ghost. What does the Bible call the Holy Ghost? The Spirit of truth. Well, guess what? This is a people who didn't receive what? The love of the truth. Well, you didn't receive the love of the truth? I believe the Spirit of truth goes in the way that He operates during the church age. And instead of the Spirit of truth, guess what you've got? Delusion. He goes, God sends delusion to ensure that people believe a lie. Well, why? Why will God ensure that they believe a lie? Verse 12. That they all might be damned. I thought God loves everybody. He does. He does. I thought God didn't want anybody to go to hell. He doesn't. He doesn't. He's done all He can do. You tell me, what more can God do? You tell me, what more could God do? He became a man in the person of His Son. He gave Him, what more can God do? He's done everything that can be done. What more God could do to show us salvation, to show His love for us? And when men reject that, when men, as it were, spit in God's face and reject that, okay, He's God. He's holy. He's the Creator. He's the Almighty. He's beyond description. And that holy God, okay, He will ensure the damnation of men. He will ensure it. He'll make sure it takes place. He will send strong delusion that men should believe a lie, that they all might be damned. God will send them delusion to ensure they will believe a lie and thus be damned. Why? Why are they damned? Verse 12. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth. That is as simple as it gets. Men are damned because they didn't believe the truth. They believe not the truth, and thus they're damned. Now that's just a fact of the matter. See, brethren, look, when we're lost, we don't believe the truth, but we're in ignorance. Paul said he found mercy because he did what he did ignorantly in unbelief. Brethren, there comes a point when God deals with you and he opens your understanding and you see, and brethren, when you make that willful choice, you are treading thin ice. That is dangerous territory. That is dangerous stuff. I mean, Paul did a lot of things contrary to the name of Jesus, but he found mercy and forgiveness. Amen. But you're talking about a situation here where men being enlightened, understanding, they make that will. No! That's dangerous. I don't know at what level and what time God says that. But brethren, I'm telling you, you've got a group here. They didn't receive the love of the truth. And God says, okay, I'll send you delusion. I'll make sure you believe a lie and are damned because you did not believe the truth. Hey, don't get no plainer than what these verses are. It just doesn't. It's just plain as day. It's hard, it's rough, but it's plain as day. They're damned because they believe not the truth. What was the problem? Was it because the truth was so intellectually hard to grasp? Not a bit. Was it because they just weren't smart enough? Was it because they needed to be better educated? Was it because? Not a bit of that. None of it. None of it. None of it. The Bible shows us. Isn't it amazing? Most of the time you think of believing the truth, you think of something that is a mental, intellectual thing, but it's tied in with the heart. It's tied in with the heart. Why didn't men believe the truth? Well, look what it says. But had pleasure in unrighteousness. Men do not believe the truth because they love the wrong they're doing. Amen. They love their sin. I had a man one time told me he knew he needed to be saved. He pointed at his beer and said, "Preacher, I love that beer." You see, he knew if he got saved, he wouldn't be able to sit around and get a buzz and get drunk. He knew God wouldn't allow that nonsense. He knew if I get saved, I could live for God. He knew I'm going to sit around and be able to drink and get drunk. I can't do that stuff. But he loved his beer more than the God who gave him salvation. It's not that he didn't understand salvation. Not that. Not that at all. At that moment, that man's life, he knew. Well, brethren, there are people, you know, I've known of people that'll cry when hearing about the Lord. But they refuse to get saved because they don't want to. See, look where we're at today. Oh, brethren, we're in a mess. See, where we're at today, I've seen people cry. I've seen people cry, and they know what Jesus did, and they know what He's done, and they know that He's the Savior, and they know that, but they don't want to give up their life. They don't want to give up their sin. So today's modern soul winner comes in and says, "Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. No, no, no. Just believe in Jesus. Let's just pray here. Don't worry about that." And you know what happens to them? They feel like, okay. Okay. I'm good to go. Okay, all right. And God never got that heart. I remember one time, I told you before, I remember one time there was a gentleman in this area. I liked him. I met him a time or two, but I loved him. That old codger man, and he was an old codger. Him and his wife, man, they was just as country as cornbread, man. And I mean, they was something. That old man tickled me. That old man tickled me. We're sitting there. He was an older man, him and his wife. He's kind of, I won't tell you everything he said, but I liked him. And he was sitting there and he had a passel of young'uns. And I made a comment about it. And he made a little comment too about him and mama. And she got to laughing. And slobber was just coming out of her mouth. And I said, "Oh my!" I said, "Woo, y'all a crew now." I mean, I said, "Miss So-and-so, now you got a pastor young." He said, "Well, I tell you what." And I mean, he said something, a little compliment to mama, get there too. And she just went, "Oh, you stop." And she was slobbering. I mean, it was just coming. And I was like, "Whew, you two something else now." I mean, but I just, that tickled me. I thought, y'all all right. Y'all all right. But I dealt with him about his soul, and he understood. He understood. And it would have been so easy for me to say, Mr. So-and-so, why don't you pray with me right now? I asked him if he understood. I made it so he understood, but you could see him. That heart went there. He understood. He knew it. He knew what he needed to be done. He knew it. But it just, I left it with him. I prayed for him. A couple months later, I'm in the grocery store, and there he is. He had cancer, and some of his treatment, he had to wear these hospital sunglasses. He said, I look like Ray Charles. So he had these old sunglasses in, and I was talking to him, and his wife popped up and said, he got saved. I said, well, that's great. She goes, preacher come to him and prayed with him. He got saved. And I said, well, Mr. So-and-so, is that? Look here, and he goes, yeah. Oh, that's good. I knew who the preacher was, did it. See, she hopped up and told me. He was like, yeah. It's broke your heart. What are you going to do now? No, sir, you're lost. Who are you? Who do you think you are? You see the danger of that stuff? Preacher prayed with him. Yeah, but what about him and his heart responding to... See, that's what's happened today. When somebody hears the truth and they understand it, if they don't respond, brethren, according to the Bible, it's because they love sin. They have pleasure in unrighteousness. But today's modern day soul winner, he just circumvents that. He says, no. Let's just pray. You'll be okay. It's wicked. It is. It's just wicked. It's just wicked. Now, look here real quick. Look at verse 10. It says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. We talk about the deceit, the deceitfulness of unrighteousness. Notice that your Bible speaks in verse 10 of the deceivableness of unrighteousness. And in verse 12, pleasure in unrighteousness. So it kind of goes together. They have pleasure, that group that rejects the truth, doesn't receive the truth, doesn't receive the love of the truth. They have pleasure in unrighteousness and will thus be subject to the deceivableness of unrighteousness. I want you to mark that out in your mind and never forget how those two tie together. Those who reject the Lord, those who are damned, those who receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. You see, they have pleasure in unrighteousness. And if you have pleasure in unrighteousness, you will thus be subject to the deceivableness of unrighteousness. And finally, go to John 3. I know we've looked at it last week. We've looked at it often, but it ties so perfectly in with these verses. John 3. John 3, verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. The light is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light. Why? Why would they do that? Because their deeds were evil. And light exposes. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Brethren, people don't like coming to church because they're living wrong. Really? That's what church bothers people. The person ain't living right. They can't stand to be around the hymns and cleanness and rightness and they don't like it. Verse 21, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Amen. That one that does the truth realizes, God, I've done others wrong, but Lord, notice it says that his deeds are wrought in God. Notice how that ties into what Paul said, repentance toward God. But before I got saved, I had repentance toward people. I repented toward my mom, my dad, or anybody. I said sorry, you know, but I guess what I'd never done? I'd never exercised repentance toward God. Recognizing that my deeds were wrought in Him. See, my deeds were wrought in God. I had offended others and even got there, but I had never gotten right with God. I had never repented toward God for how and who I was. I never acknowledged my sins were against Him. My deeds were wrought in God. But I did the night I got saved. I acknowledged to Him that my rebellion was against, I'd sinned against God. And I repented toward God and accepted Christ as my Savior. You see how it's all tied in? That's Bible. But what we've got today, brethren, are little business-like soul winning techniques and plans to pad a numbers and to get soul winning pins and to get names put in everything, and it is deadly. It's deadly and it's scary. This is Bible, brethren. This is Bible tonight. This is dealing with things. Look, then somehow all these verses tie together and present you with this picture, this full picture of the heart and dealing with the heart and deeds wrought in God and repentance toward God and faith. It all ties together in a whole. But if you want to pad the numbers and make yourself look good, see, you got to get around that thing with that part. And it's dangerous. It's deadly. It's criminal. It is. But listen. We go over it much around here. I don't try to belabor the point, but my goodness, brethren. Did you know something? I'm not trying to say, but I can't stand people that make people doubt. But did you know, some of you have experienced this and you know what I'm talking about. Did you know that so often when you have had people who have been pronounced saved by someone, but a work of God has not been done in their heart, did you know sometimes it can take up to a year or more for that person to ever find out where they're at? Our churches are filled with it today. Our churches are filled with things. Brother, what are you going to do? Somebody comes to you, their words are right, and they say they're saved. Well, you can't call them a liar. I mean, if they told you they're counting on baptism, okay, well, you got something. But you can't call them a liar. So, you know what? I mean, they join the church, and you know what your only hope is? That through the preaching of the Word of God, the person will hopefully discover their self and not be so prideful they won't face up to it.
Amen.
But it takes time. It takes time. But where we're at today, amen, brethren. That's what the Scripture tells us. Look here. If you're here and you're this afternoon, this evening, you're saved, you understand this. That's what happened to you. Oh, I'm not saying that systematically, but you understood. When you came to God, you realized you had sinned against Him. You turned to God. You accepted what Christ did on your behalf. There was a heart thing that took place. And if that hadn't took place, it can. You know you passed from death to life. God made a new creature out of you. And it's not hard. I don't understand it, brother. Well, I do understand. The Bible things here. But brother, when I was a young and I didn't, this was not a hard thing for me. I told you this morning, the only hard thing for me when I got saved was dealing with Jonathan Doss. It wasn't hard understanding what Jesus Christ had done. My goodness, He died for me. I get that. The problem was I had to deal with was, was Jonathan Doss willing to give up Jonathan Doss and turn to God? Was Jonathan Doss willing to not worry about his reputation or what others thought or pride or whatever and turn from me to God? Whew. I thanks be to God I had sense enough in my head to do so. And like the song says, I've never been sorry. I've never been sorry. Like the one fellow said, there's been many times I've been a sorry Christian, but I've never been sorry to be a Christian. If you're saved, you know what I'm talking about. But if not, or if you're listening on recording, then listen. The Bible's plain about what needs to be done. God's made the way, and God will deal with you. But He's not going to force you. Contrary to what some systems say, He's not going to force you. It's a choice that you make. But then God's going to deal with you after the choice you made. You make a choice, then God's going to make some choices. And if you choose to reject Him and go your own way, you're leaving God with no choice but to deal with you after your decisions, your choice. And it's a serious matter. To reject Christ, well, there's no hope for a person. Christ is the only hope we have. But God does love you. And He made that way. And He offers that way to us in Jesus Christ. But it can only makes application to you. It only applies to you if you're willing to turn from you, come to God, and receive and accept as a free gift what Christ has done. I pray that you have. If you're listening to a recording, I pray that you have. And if you haven't, and God, as I said this morning, God is reaching out and offering that gift to you. I pray you'd come to a place of surrender. Give up. Turn from you. Turn to God. And gratefully, thankfully, lovingly accept what God has done for you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Father, for these passages. Father, it seems this morning and tonight there are some pretty heavy matters of salvation that we've been going over. And Lord, it's just what we're up to in our passages, but Lord, this morning in Numbers and tonight here, Lord, there's no escaping, Father. I mean, tonight these passages are just straightforward there. That's what they are. Father, I don't know if there would be someone here, someone listening on recording, Lord. I don't know if there's someone that, Lord, you're reaching out to. Father, if that be the case, please continue to reach out, Father. Please, please. Have, Lord, you're long-suffering. Please be long-suffering toward them. Lord, if they don't understand, help them understand. If they do understand, help them to see the folly of the sin they're hanging on to. Help them, Lord, to see the folly of self and the idolatry of self, and Lord, the sin the unrighteousness that they're hanging on to. Help them to see it in its true light, that they may turn from it and turn to Thee. Lord, make them miserable in their sin. Father, we just ask You to do this mercifully so. Have Your way and will in what's been said and done. We ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.